of fascism.
Tom Noddy, lemon juggling, bubble blowing local, who's actually a world famous international performer. He's been on Johnny Carson. Yes, he has. He spends about half of his time in Germany, and he's going off soon to the, I guess it's the Oregon Country Fair. I'm never quite sure what the exact name of that is, but that's up in Oregon. But before he left, he took out his lemons and his rubber balls and his juggling bowling pins, and he went down onto Pacific Avenue to do some juggling. And why did he do that? Because Tom is usually make his living as a juggler. Well, he became concerned about the destruction of the voluntary street performers guidelines and more the repressive impact of the downtown ordinances.
Hello, Roberts.
I hope you've given up your juggling ways.
I never much had a way with juggling. I can't, among the kids in the living room, It's one of those little parlor tricks, like snatching the kid's nose at the quality of juggler that I am. But it was good enough.
Really good enough to merit police attention.
That's what happened down there. Of course, the ordinance that outlaws juggling would also outlaw tossing the car keys to your friend. What they very consciously were doing last year in the body of laws that they were passing in response to the fevered sentinel frenzy that the community was willing to support the merchants, because they apparently were being besieged by, if one read the sentinel, they understood that there were junkies stabbing people downtown. There was gangbangers just rampaging up the street, and the poor downtown merchants, just, you know what the biggest problem for them was? There weren't enough laws. That was the problem. That's why gangbangers were running from Cinema 9 down this way with the other gangbangers. And this is an actual incident. Something really did happen. Some South County gang and some other gang, and they saw each other and they encountered each other down coming from the movies. They're not guys that hang downtown. They went to a movie. But anyway, this thing happened, and so the Sentinel reported it as another example of the big downtown problems. Apparently it wasn't a problem for the, some other area when it happened out there. If they met each other in Davenport, they would have done the same thing, but it wouldn't be the big Davenport problem. But here it was the downtown problem, because really the Sentinel was up to something else. They meant, let's do a crackdown downtown on panhandling and people hanging around, Okay, so they had a series of ordinances that they proposed to address this awful bloody activity that was going on, and they had to deal with moving panhandlers around where they were permitted, when they were permitted to do, and what manner they were permitted to do it at all. And then they roped in street performers in the same process, moving them out 10 foot, no 14, no over here, no, you can't do that. But they passed some ordinance, a series of ordinances about street performers. And the other problem that they noted was hacky sackers, four or five teens in a circle kicking this little foot bag. You can't touch it with your hands, but otherwise you keep it alive. It's a live little teenage game going on. And there was, I think, a legitimate concern that sometimes an activity like that would take up a big part of the sidewalk, and some older person would be afraid of getting too close to these running, jumping, yelling, "Hey, kids!" So rather than look for a way to address that activity, they have ways. Like I said, they have a mountain of law books. There's something wrong with doing that, I'll bet. Find some way to tell the hacky guy, hey, take it over there, take it back behind, go to the parking lot. Something like they could do that. But instead, they passed they said the hacky sack specific law, which I don't think they actually needed. But then they got carried away while they were at it, because they were like, this is what they do.
My particular suggestion would be that, but mainly it is a matter of respect. You go talk to the hacky sackers like people. You say, people have a lot of trouble passing through this area. I wonder, is it possible you could move this slightly over a bit for a little while? If there were a different attitude.
Yeah, I'm even up with, being a little bit stronger sometimes. Teenage boys need their their uncles or somebody else to say, hey, 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 man, hey, watch out. You know, let the old lady sit in the chair. What's the matter with you? You know, I'm okay with, you know, being a little more direct. I don't think they needed a law to do it. Why don't we sit down as a community some other way than with our legislators? What are these, the wise men and women of the tribe or something? Why do everyone, when the surfers and the kayakers have a problem, why are they talking to the city council? These are legislators. They're presumably they're experts at making laws. Their whole thing is to make laws. Laws isn't the way to deal with everything that happens in our society.
They did pass these laws in July. They changed them slightly in September. They came back in January with the move-along law. And you heard the city attorney state, and you've reviewed recently and confirmed that he was asked the question by Christopher Crone, actually initiated by you.
Actually, what Christopher Crone asked was, will these ordinances, there were a whole set of ordinances, and so really the one that, of those ordinances that clearly did and could be read in a way that would outlaw juggling, he was referring to the one that you read, 9.2.
Right, yeah, quite right. You correct me on the move along. And also, draw to your attention a communication you wrote to the city council on June 7th about Corey Langham. And rather than read, I think, your very well-written letter, perhaps you could briefly describe that.
Right. So the city attorney said that juggling would not be outlawed by this ordinance, this anti-hacky sack law. And then I was downtown and I saw a clown, red nose, you know, kind of pulling out his props and setting himself up over by O'Neill's, big widest part of the sidewalk downtown, good spot. He had his juggling balls, his juggling pins, his musical stand, a common prop for clowns, you know, and his unicycle, and he would kind of have these things laid out. He was clearly preparing to do a show, and I went, oh, cool, I'll watch this. And yeah, somehow it was just so sweet. Little families, touristy families walking by with little children. They were just adored the idea that they were going to be entertained for free like this downtown. And it just felt so nice and so sunny and so Sunday and so pleasant that I just had a feeling that the police would be along to stop this from happening. And so I took out my notebook and started noting everything that was around, what his props were, what was happening. And then after 10 minutes, I saw one of the downtown hosts, Avery, come by and stand and observe as the guy got on his unicycle, but he got out on the street rather than put it on the sidewalk. And he did, in fact, for a moment juggle, and he did balance his music stand on his chin, and he walked a little rope thing. Avery walked away. 10 minutes after that, police officer Bechtel came by and stopped the performance while these children just kind of waited for the clown to come back to them. He was involved with the police officer. And she and I stood really close. I assumed they chased me away. They didn't. And I took notes. It turns out she explained that juggling is illegal in Santa Cruz. I knew it wasn't the case. I knew I was there when the city attorney was asked that question. But she believed, it is pretty understandable to me, she saw the law that the city council had come up with, which everybody was told was an anti-hacky sack law, and she read it to mean juggling. Well, so did I a year ago, but, you know, she wasn't there when the city attorney said, I know it looks like it, he didn't say this, but it looks exactly like an anti-juggling law, but it is not. City attorney is the one who gets to say.
And I suggest further that your investigation into this, which involved calling the city manager's office and talking to council members, and they said, juggling, oh, we're glad to hear juggling is not a crime because you looked at the tape and you found out that the city attorney advised the mayor, then Mayor Crone, it wasn't, and the whole council, all this was being passed, and that's the legislative intent that it not be for juggling. But then suddenly you got a phone call from Assistant City Manager Martine Bernal the night before you began your career of crime, right?
That's right, yes. I had a call. I tried to contact him earlier in the day and ask, is it straight yet? The mayor indicated to me that you guys were going to get it straight, that this law would not apply to jugglers. And is that straight yet? I just wanted somebody in city administration. I actually went to city attorney's office, but he wasn't in. So then I went to City Hall, and I tried to get them, and they gave me to Bernal, they said at first, but then Bernal was in a meeting, so they gave me somebody from the resource development. What the hell is going on? I just wanted somebody in the city to tell me that they believed that it was or was not legal to juggle downtown.
What Martin Bernal did when he called you at, what was it, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, an unusual time, he called to give you this special good word. What did he tell you?
He told me that the city attorney had informed him that, yes, juggling has been outlawed in Santa Cruz. Apparently for a year, it's been against the law. I don't know why they didn't enforce, and now they were enforcing. There aren't a lot of juggling things going on downtown. There's so much trouble about street performing in general that the, you know, we're not attracting some of the best acts right now. But, yeah, so his word was, yes, despite what the city attorney said last year when they were trying to pass the law, the city attorney now says that that juggling has become illegal by the passing of that law. He told the city council that it was not. If they hadn't passed it, I actually wanted him to be asked because I believed he was going to tell them what I thought, which is the same thing that the officer thought, which is that this reading, this wording, would make juggling illegal. I agree with the cops. Whether it was a high level, whether it was a low level, I agree with the cops. You read that wording, surely juggling is illegal. And I just needed the city attorney to tell that to the city council members because they were about to pass it thinking it wouldn't make juggling illegal. I don't know where they got that idea.
Instead, the city attorney...
So I needed the city attorney to tell them that this will make juggling illegal. Mm-hmm. I thought, if he did that, and I still think, had he done that, that I would have had 4 votes to stop that train. That train was moving so fast and so hard, they were going to drive across. They'd already done 1 reading of it. They had a big hurry, and they were about to do the 2nd reading. This thing was about to become law, and these city council people didn't even know that they were outlawing juggling, for Christ's sake, and doing a dozen things at the same time, but including outlawing juggling at this moment. I needed the city attorney to shock them by telling them this would outlaw juggling.
But he didn't do that. Instead,
he did exact opposite. He told them it would not outlaw juggling. I lost my opportunity to stop the making of this law. I would have had 4 votes.
Right.
He prevented that with his political
as we talked about earlier, when you
maneuver. If he really didn't mean it, then it was a political maneuver. It accomplished his goal perfectly. It got the thing to go, and it kept the momentum moving, and they went ahead with the other stuff that they were doing. My political maneuver, I don't think that's a criticism. Mine was to stop the momentum of the whole thing by shocking them into finding out how far, how fast they had gone, how far, that you were on the verge of making juggling illegal. And I would get 4 votes if only he would tell them the truth, which was that this law would outlaw juggling. Instead, he told them no.
Yes.
They passed it.
You were denied your opportunity to, in essence, get that 4th vote. And also, all of us were really denied an adequate public process because for the first time that I've ever seen, they held 4 council meetings in 2 weeks in the month of late June and early July and passed this thing, like, as you say, a freight train. Having passed it, you then, you know, we had a situation where I didn't see them go after jugglers for about a year. Then you saw this incident with, I guess, Corey Langman.
Mm-hmm.
It was a man, right?
Yeah, Corey.
And then you drew this attention to the city manager and the city council, and then you learned suddenly on Wednesday night last week, this last week, that it was still illegal, that was the city attorney.
That's right. The city attorney intended to justify
position.
What had happened to Corey Langham.
So is this what drove you to start embarrassing yourself by throwing lemons up and down in the avenue? I mean, is that what happened then?
Yes, that all counts. Yes, it was embarrassing because if my juggler friends actually ever see the quality of my juggling that led to this much hubbub, they're going to almost insist that it was a justified bust.
So I know that I saw you there in front of the host center doing some juggling. And admittedly, you certainly did it better than I could have. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, I can do a shower. I can do a cascade. I can do over the top umbrella. A couple of things. You know, couple of things. If you don't really know jugglers, I can impress the kids in the parlor.
You did bring out the traveling puppets briefly, and I think they even had a brief statement. You, of course, did the traveling puppets many, many years ago when you were traveling with the puppets.
That's right. And Mousy was there. Mousy spoke for a little while, and I did some things with bubbles. It was too windy for my act. I really wanted to gather a crowd with my bubble act, which is legal, oddly, and then do something with the puppets, and then nothing. And, you know, then I was really worried. Little kids going by, amazed to see a bubble bigger than they were. It was just, you know, kind of a nice... It's been a long time, truly, since I was a performing on the streets much. And you know, for many years I did in Santa Cruz before I got the Tonight Show, and then I started getting other gigs and stuff. But I really like it. It's a sweet place. These people come down, and I like to kind of bring entertainment. It's a wonderful thing about street performing. People didn't come to see you, really. I mean, even if they came to Pacific Avenue knowing that there's street entertainment there, really they didn't come to see you. It's not like a concert. Just they're walking in the middle of their lives, and this magic happens to them. And then they go away. And you know, it's just this thing like happened between the bakery and the clothing store. You know, something happened to them. I just love that. So I got a little taste of that for a while that day.
And something happened to you then.
Something happened to me. Yeah, I kind of packed up my stuff. You know, there was nobody there. Now the host had closed the building. I mean, I was really, okay, kind of, you know, poured out my bubble. All right, so, you know, I packed it all up and walked up the sidewalk looking to see if there was a cop around. Come on, because they're going to bust the next juggler. What are they doing? They're ignoring me because the press is watching. They're ignoring me because I've got some attention. I wanted them to pay attention to me. That was my purpose in being out there, not so that I could get arrested, but so that I could highlight this issue. If they're not going to arrest me, that's fine, as long as it means that they're not going to be arresting jugglers. They're not going to be chasing jugglers away with the threat of arrest. But that isn't, I didn't get any kind of assurance in that at all.
So anyway, you were putting your stuff away, you were wondering where the police were, when suddenly, thank God, a police officer arrived.
Well, suddenly I took my things, I walked away, I was finished. I went over, and there she was by Borders trying to talk to some people who were sitting out on the benches. And oh, I put my bag down really quick, I took out the three lemons. She looked over at me, and I juggled the lemons. She said, oh, no, you're not going to do this. I said, yeah, absolutely. Better me than the next juggler, you know, when nobody's paying attention. She said, you want me to write you a citation? I said, no, I want to juggle. And she said, but you know I'm going to write you a citation. Yeah, that's right. She said, okay, this is your warning. Don't juggle. I said, okay. And, man, I continued to juggle. And then she said, are you going to be signing this citation? I said, no. Is she going to make me take you down to the magistrate? I am. And so she called her superior, and he
who
came.
Who was her superior?
Flippo.
Oh, Sergeant Flippo, yes.
Sergeant Flippo. And they both came, and they were both polite. They both understood what I was doing. They both tried to talk me out of doing it. They assured me that theirs was not the position where these decisions are made.
They're just following orders.
They indicated that here is your citation. Will you sign it? I will not. Okay. Then we'll go to the magistrate. Okay. And then going into a judge who was just rude. He apparently was uninterested in the purpose of somebody asking to be brought to a magistrate, which, as I understand it, the reason I was there was to ask him to give the police a quick idea of whether or not they had probable cause to be acting on this law.
Did you make that request of him?
He wouldn't let me do that.
So what was the nature? He wouldn't even allow you to get out a sentence?
He informed me that the entire reason that we are going to speak at all is to for me to tell him whether or not I intend to sign this thing, this citation. And I said, well, I would like to speak to something else. He said, okay, but you're not going to have that opportunity. You will tell me whether you're going to sign this, yes or no. And I made another attempt, and he said, it's not going to happen. Are you signing this? And then I said, no. And then he told me, you know, how not good for me it is if I don't, and how it's exactly the same end result will be that, you know, I will either sign it or not sign it, and the only thing that happens is I get some court date later on in front of some traffic judge who's not going to, you know, who's going to give me, he said, then my opportunity, you know. And I said, well, there's something else I'd rather talk to. He said, yes, whatever, constitutional, it's unconstitutional or, you know, some. He wasn't impressed, apparently, with the Constitution. It was not going to be something we were going to discuss here. Neither the Constitution nor whatever else it was that I wanted to do.
Well, probable cause hearing is of course the reason for the take me to a magistrate provision, I believe. That's what I've always understood. Apparently Judge Barton has a different understanding.
Apparently.
Huh. And, you know, it's interesting because Judge Danner, before whom Steve Argue was taken admittedly in handcuffs while you were able to walk in, Simply, you know, I think he may have asked if he was going to sign the ticket, and Argue said no. And Danner just said, well, we're setting a hearing in then so-and-so's court for arraignment at such and such a time. And so Danner took action, for example, that had Steve Argue released and had a court hearing set up without his signing anything, which could have been done in your case, right?
That was my, it was among the possibilities, but he decided instead, Barton was so unhappy with the fact that I wouldn't just sign my citation and that I wanted to talk about anything else. I think he actually added some little twist to it.
What was that?
Well, they sent me over to the jail for what the cops had initially indicated to me. They believed it would be the typical kind of book and release thing.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't what happened. And instead, I was kind of left in the holding tank for 5 hours, and then I was taken out of the holding tank and put in an isolation tank for many, 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 many more hours. And then I was brought back to the holding tank, and they started to process me, fingerprint me and stuff, and change their minds and put me back in the tank and let the whole night go by. So it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I did this crime of juggling 3 lemons in front of the officer. And it was 6 o'clock the next morning that they let me out of jail.
How were you treated by the sheriff's deputies there?
I wasn't much treated. It wasn't much of a treat. No, there was one guy that I don't think he liked me very much. But essentially I was left alone in this cell and left alone in that cell. And in between, he growled a little bit. But, you know, I wasn't one of the big events of his evening. He was dealing with other stuff.
And you think, but you suggested this might have been due to some sort of judicial prior arrangement rather than him. Do you have any sense of who was responsible?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I know the judge didn't like me. I know the this guy didn't like me, but it didn't matter. I mean, this is not the important part of any of this story. The thing is, I mean, what he did misunderstand was he thought that the most important thing to me was that I get out of there. And so if they're not going to let me out of there, then they're showing me, and then maybe then I'll do right or something like that. But that wasn't. I mean, it took me hours in the afternoon to get myself in there. I wasn't all about, hey, I got to be out of jail. Hey, I got to. I mean, I don't even juggle typically. You know, I went out of my way to go downtown to make myself the one who would test this mistake that the city attorney made. I mean, one can only hope that it was foolishness and a mistake. That's the kindest reading I can give this. This wasn't all about. I mean, the 13 hours was crazy. It was absurd. But really, it's going to go on for months. It has already gone on for more than a year. So that little bit of time ain't nothing. I'll do it again. Thus far, since the council started this, since the police, the hosts, and the council joined together, and the merchants joined together in efforts to make us uncomfortable downtown, I think they have contributed to, you know, taking away from the entertainment that happens. The merchants chose to slap the street performers, slap them like they're trash, and put them out on the goddamn curb. And they wanted that, and they wanted respect.
Right.
and the merchants are using the police for that. They're using the host for that. They're using the city council for that. This was an agreement between the merchants and the performers, and the merchants. I'll tell you the truth. The merchants have allowed Candy Moisey and Karen Heinrich and Andy Heinrich and some very small number of them to speak for all of the downtown merchants. And what they have said, Pacific Trading Company and Jackson Shoes, and what they have said, what those merchants have said, and what the Downtown Association has said in the name of all of the downtown merchants, what they have said is, we're trash. Out to the curb with you, shut up, get over there, no, yeah, and show us respect, goddammit.
And what I said...
And I'm saying in response,
yeah,
right. You know, why? Because I did for 23 years, but I did, mm-hmm. as long as you agreed not to pass performer-specific ordinances. Now that you're doing it, all that respect that I've been showing, that's over. Now I'm going downtown and I'm juggling in front of your thing if you make a law against juggling. Now I'm going to go there and I'm going to not be 10 foot from someplace. Now I'm going to go down there and I'm going to encourage other performers and other activists downtown to treat you with the kind of respect that you're showing to us.
Any final words on how people can be supportive? Should they call city council? Should they organize
sure,
themselves?
Sure, absolutely. Call the council.
Yeah,
yeah, if you care about this issue, call your favorite or your least favorite council member, and you know, call the city manager, the assistant city manager, call the redevelopment agency, call the parks and, department. They're all touching this issue on some level or another. Call the police department. Call the police chief. You know, absolutely. Make your voice heard. You know, try the Sentinel. maybe they'll listen to you. Certainly, if you have anything you want to say against street performing, or you want to belittle it in some way, then I think the Sentinel's your best bet.
Hey, listen, talking to Tom Noddy. Thanks, Tom, for spending another hour with us, and thank you for standing up for the rights of street performers. I should say for the, you know, the sensible response that we hope we can see the sanity return to Santa Cruz in terms of the restoration of the voluntary street performers guidelines.
Yeah, or some, you know, alternate method. This one isn't going to work. I mean, I'll make sure that this one doesn't make things better for them. I mean, I don't know. Not all the time, but, you know, I live in this town, and I figure it's, you know, for the rest of my life now, I'll just, if they want to just stick with this, then I'll just make sure that it's not, like, better.
Dog, you. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Tell me what is it that grows this concrete path we walk, behind the friendly barbed wire where we're not allowed to stop. Tell me, what is it that grows, thriving in moral decay, springing in the footsteps of those we drive away, when beautification becomes an uplifting and progress means death to someone else. When destiny becomes a dollar sign, you gotta ask yourself, tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism? Tell me, what is this distraction that makes us look away, pretending we're happy and everything's okay? Well, who are you really fooling? Where even the trees are slaves, and the flowers in the pavement are marking all our graves. So you can't whitewash a piece of shit. Someone will always know, but it's candy coated gentricide everywhere I go. Tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism? Tell me, what is it that grows in this concrete path we walk, behind the friendly barbed wire where we all are forced to shop? Tell me, what is it that grows, thriving in moral decay, springing in the footsteps of those we drive away, when cleaning up the streets means homeless sleeps and our property is stolen from someone else? They plant flowers in the pavement and drives all away. You gotta ask yourself, tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism?